Hi, it's your old pal Slim, and this is 70mm, a podcast for film lovers. Every Monday, I chat about recently watched movies with my close friend and artist, Danny Haas.
I wanted to break my arm so bad watching that movie, just to see if it would work.
And our spiritual advisor and movie insider, Pardalexis.
I've had like four or five pairs of Toms, and anytime that I've like walked outside with them, I rip a hole in them.
It's 90s action month here at 70mm, and it's finally time for Catherine Bigelow to shine with Point Break from 1991. This is Proto's pick, and it's been a long time coming. Feel free to use the chapters in your podcast app to skip ahead to that discussion. But is Patrick Swayze the sexiest man to ever wear vegan slippers while skydiving? We answer that question and much more now. Proto, today, as we record this, Thursday, we dropped a huge episode. We talked privately in DMs that we need to continue innovating. We will never be out-innovated in the podcast space.
Yes.
We started the trend of custom episode artwork with Danny. We're still number one. We're number one in the hearts and minds of so many, but we released an episode today without the movie Insider, because you're still behind on Stranger Things. Are you ready to... Let us know how far along you are now on the Stranger Things journey.
Yes, but first I would just like to congratulate you guys on a fantastic episode.
Thank you.
I haven't listened to it, but I'm just assuming it's great.
I was hoping you wouldn't. It would spoil quite a bit.
You know, and yeah, I mean, the movie Insider sits this one out. Glad that we have a dear friend who would, you know, come in and fill that space. Ian, former producer. He did a great job. I love the chemistry that you guys have. I did listen to the beginning up until you started, you know, talking about it. Mm. Not that I really care about spoilers for Stranger Things.
Right.
But you know, this is great. I love this because more content for this show that I don't have to do anything for is fantastic. I love it.
You know, out of respect for you, out of our deep respect, extremely deep, we did not do a synopsis. We refused to do it without you. So it was a barren synopsized episode.
You didn't have to do that, but I appreciate the thought.
One thing I do want to start off, usually we say hello to new patrons who joined at 70mmpod.com, get uncut eps, exclusive eps, access to our Discord and stuff. Elijah and Strudel. I like saying Strudel.
Strudel.
They joined this week, but we are officially having the first ever official meetup.
Official.
For 70mm. The first meetup is happening. It's going to be in the greater Philadelphia area. We have a date. We sent out invites, and it's just for supporters. So if you want to have a good time on a Saturday with some close friends like us and a large group of other people, maybe watch a movie together. You become a supporter on Patreon. We'll let you know the deets. You can join too. It's going to be an amazing time. Danny, you pumped?
I'm pumped. I'm also pumped that we've kind of come around on a movie to pick for this big weekend of ours. I'm very excited.
Yes, yes, yes.
Big. Maybe there's some kind of like secret plans Danny's got cooked up.
Cooking.
You're not even allowed in until you show the VHS Village membership card that all supporters get in the mail when they support the show.
Right.
If you don't have that card, you get thrown out like DJ Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You'll need the VHS Village membership card and then also the secret code word that will be sent to you privately.
Via text.
Via text message. Danny, did you watch any movies this week?
I watched two movies this week. One It's the summertime, so I'm watching Indiana Jones. I watched Temple of Doom this week. Just thinking about Short Round, our boy. Hoping to see him more in the future. But for 4th of July, the family got around the tube and we all watched The Sandlot. Oh. 1993's baseball, the greatest baseball movie ever created, some would say. And had a great time. I haven't seen this movie probably since I moved out of my parents' house. I don't think I've watched this since then. And to watch it with the kids, just had a blast. They finally realize when I say "you're killing me, Smalls," where that came from. and they learn a little bit about Babe Ruth. So it was a good time.
Mm. I don't think I've seen that in 20 plus years.
Feels like forever. I mean, we watched it on repeat in my house growing up. So I could still quote this movie. But yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
Wow, 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 wow. Taco is asking if I hate Sandlot. I don't have an opinion on Sandlot, you know? Sometimes it's okay just to not have an opinion. Need to innovate again. I'm innovating by not giving an opinion.
Wow. That's a first.
Prado, what are your vibes on Sandlot and baseball movies in general?
I love Sandlot. I've seen it many times. I haven't seen it in many years. But yeah, it's a great summer movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the, what's that say? I guess the 40s or 50s. I mean, it's summertime. They're at the pool. They're getting resuscitated by lifeguards. And then I love that montage at the end of like where they all ended up.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so endearing. I'd love to watch it with my kids. That's a good pick. Maybe I'll watch that with them.
The night game sequence when they're all yelling to come out of their house, running through the block party of the neighborhood, enjoying the 4th of July with fireworks and. Gives me the chills. It was a great moment.
Chilled up.
Rookie of the Year, I think, was my baseball movie. Professional baseball pitcher or something.
Yeah.
Right? He had a broken arm.
I wanted to break my arm so bad watching that movie just to see if it would work.
Yeah, if there was Google at the time, I would have been online Googling, like, can you do this to your arm? Can you turn your arm into a rubber band?
Do you remember Field of Dreams?
Costner.
The King.
My dad watched it a lot, but I might have been watching it forever. Probably since I'd seen it with him.
Mm, it's the ultimate dad movie, probably. If we did like a dad movie month, I feel like Field of Dreams is in there. Probably another Harrison Ford spy movie of some kind. You never know. Ismail says we're in dad movie month. 90s action movie month. It's Proto's pick. Later in the show, Point Break, Summer Catch, Kurtz points out. My God, is that Jessica Biel? I mean, I think I have a mental image of that poster. How about Kurtz dropping an IMDb link in here? Can someone give him a timeout?
Yeah, it needs to be banned right now.
Is this for real?
I don't.
My God.
I mean, we're not even to the feature prezzo and he's dropping IMDb links.
Even there. Prado, what about you? What did you watch this week?
I got to watch two movies. I watched, I had a night in with my daughter. We went down the block to get a pizza.
Gosh.
Brought it back. And I said, what do you want to watch? And she said, let's watch Earwig and the Witch, she has.
Ghibli.
She told me she's seen it three times. She loves it. She asked for us to turn the soundtrack on when we're in the car. So we sat down and watched it. Unfortunately, it is not good at all. Mm. I remember when this came out in 2020, I was like, oh wow, Ghibli has a new movie coming out. And then like you heard nothing about this. And I was like, what gives? Well, I found out what gives is just there's nothing there. It's actually, it's surprisingly bad. I couldn't explain it. I have no idea how they produced this movie. It seemed more of like them experimenting with 3D animation, but it was like one of those things where like you come into the room and your kids are watching something on Netflix and it's like really bad. I don't have anything else to say. It was just, it's so bizarre. I don't know what to make of it or how this even happened, but gave it 2 stars. Very disappointing.
Is Ghibli over? Is that the question we need to be asking? Are they finished?
Well, I mean, as if Goro is in charge, then maybe we gotta pull Goro Miyazaki out of here.
Mm.
But I have not seen it. It looked terrible, so I'd never watched it, and I don't think any of my kids have seen it.
Paul in chat points out Ghibli, and John Mulaney in the same ranking. You also went on some kind of bizarre experience with Mulaney. A lot of people love John Mulaney. He's like the most beloved comedian in the last 15, 20 years.
I did turn that on. But I have me and Jenna were sitting down last night and she wanted to watch something, you know, funny. So she's into watching, you know, giving stand-up a shot. So we're pretty much on the same page with comedy. So we'll give things a shot, but we pull it pretty quick. So I gave Mulaney 10 minutes and it just wasn't for me. I know if people love him, that's great. But, you know, humor is very subjective. So I did not click with anything. But instead, we then turned to another one that she... Jenna sends me clips on IG all the time of just like random stuff. So she sent me this comedy clip of Taylor Tomlinson. And she was pretty funny. She's she's a young comedian, Netflix special, had a good time with that. So, you know, we redeemed our night with that. So it was good.
Fantastic. Amanda sometimes sends me like Facebook videos and she'll never listen to this. I never look at those videos. I'm not going to watch a Facebook video. I might look at the title and try to like assume what I was going to see when I watch it, but it's just not happening. I can't.
Yeah. You know what? I think Facebook is different. There's something about going into Facebook. You know, I feel like when I get an IG post, it's like, all right, I can pop in Instagram, watch a video and pop out. But once you, you know, you feel icky once you get into the Facebook environment. You don't know what might happen, what you're going to see. It's a very scary place.
As we were chatting, I loaded up Letterboxd to see what I had watched, but I had forgotten already that Thor Love and Thunder was coming out and some reviews have started to come in. Stove gave it one star.
Oh my gosh.
Boom gave it two stars. Marcy gave it 3.5 star, which in Marcy's rating system, that's a one star on average.
True. Mm-hmm.
That I said this in the Letterboxd Show podcast. That trailer looked like dump, this movie. I couldn't be any less enthused to see a Marvel movie than the trailer for Thor. Good grief.
Thank you.
But whatever floats your boat. If you love Thor, that's fantastic. Speaking of bad things, I watched Boyhood
by
Richard Linklater. That's my lead-in. This is one of the highest-rated movies in my friends list. I rolled, and I got this for a weekend watch list. You know, this is what I have to watch. Mm-hmm. It was on my watch list, and you know, even the Letterboxd crew themselves were like, "Oh my God, Slim, get ready! this is your movie." And I'm thinking, like, you know, okay,
they Slimfluenced you.
Well, this was like kind of already Slimfluenced for me. It's like, that's why I just still have never watched it. So I was like, all right, it's fine. You know, a movie that is filmed over the course of 12 years, this young boy's journey to becoming a young adult, his relationship with his divorced parents. I'm like, God, this could be my movie. 20 minutes in, I wanted to shut it off. I couldn't, I was like starting to get like anxious. I was like, oh my God, what is happening? Am I something wrong with me with this, watching this movie? I love the idea of the movie, but it just was not for me. The acting I thought was just not great.
Oh gosh.
And you're kind of gambling with, you know, it's not like the main two young actors were bad. The actors around them I thought were actually not great. It seems like they cast a lot of unknowns over the course of the film, but not for me. But Danny, I think you have this at 5 stars. I'm not sure if that was BLB or not.
Oh, way BLB. We saw it in theaters. And I haven't seen it since. So I think that was probably a day one BLB 5-star ad.
Mm.
I don't know if I'll watch it again.
Nice, really care. Nice back paddle.
I remember loving it. I do remember loving it. But it wasn't at a time where I was logging movies. So yeah.
Back paddle before Letterboxd, BP BLB.
That's too much. No. That's we can't do that. That's like putting two meatballs in your mouth.
Proto, do you have any thoughts on Boyhood?
I just remember, like, at the Oscars, people like weeping on each other's shoulders over this movie. Like, oh my God, this has changed. This has changed cinema forever. Oh my God.
Everyone that I know on Letterboxd, with the exception of Hayden. Hayden had it at 2.5 stars. He's the lowest other person that I know. Everyone else is 4 and up for sure.
Thank you, Hayden. Are you a Linklater fan? Do you like his? I mean, School of Rock.
School of Rock, I adore. That's 5 stars. I really liked his most recent one, but I haven't seen a ton of his filmography outside of that, to be honest. Scanner Darkly. What's the other one? Dazed and Confused.
I love Bernie. He did Bernie, which is a wonderful movie.
Oh, yeah. I like the first of the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise. I saw that and I liked it. I haven't watched the other ones.
Sounds like you're a fan.
Yeah, sure.
There it is.
Nice guy. Just a reminder, I'm picking next at the end of the show.
I'm scared. Honestly, scared.
I am picking.
Big pick.
I was listening to the pre-show on my drive home. Danny potentially predicting a Seagal movie. Steven Seagal.
Not
there was some
necessarily
Arnold chatter earlier I saw
it,
too.
I hope it doesn't happen.
He's trying to will it out of your mind.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm trying to influence your choice.
JCVD, Mikey says in chat, could Jean-Claude make an appearance? Stay tuned. Maybe we should get into our main event. Feature Prezzo.
I think it's time.
Proto, what's Point Break? Can you talk to us, please?
Los Angeles has a bank robbery problem. A crew known as the ex-presidents is on a 30-bank streak. Johnny Utah, a rookie FBI agent, is new to the bank robbery unit and is hungry to make his mark. Based on a pair of untanned butt cheeks, Utah and his partner determined that the bank robbers must be surfers. It's time for Utah to slide his cheeks into a wetsuit to crack this case. But he must learn the surfer ways, brah. What he doesn't expect is to be drawn in by the surf lifestyle and the magnetism of the surf leader, Bodie. As the ex-presidents plan to make one final score for the summer, Utah races to uncover their identities and stop their plan. Point Break.
I'm sorry. Paul just posted a photo of Danny's setup and he's in front of a TV. And it's the TV as the ass of the robber. First of all, how did Paul get that photo?
Casey shared it in free.
Oh my God.
In the free chat. This has potential. This has big potential. Holy shit.
We need a shirt. We need like one of those weird wolf shirts, but it's Danny sitting in front of the ass TV. Oh my God. What a night. Point Break. Catherine Bigelow. Mm-hmm. This has been kind of whispered about since we started the show, I feel like, Point Break.
Yeah.
On those lists, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think we talk about Catherine a lot, too. So I think we've brought her up plenty of times. Mm-hmm. So Point Break is obviously going to be a part of that convo.
Right. Prado, what did you know about Point Break growing up? Was it ever in your periphery?
No, not really. I remember seeing it at the Blockbuster, of course, seeing the cover, very recognizable, I think, for anybody our age. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just like one of those movies I never got around to watching. So, I don't know why it just wasn't something that I was like drawn to.
Danny, what about you?
No, I haven't watched it until recently, maybe a year or two ago, but I'm a big Fast and Furious fan. So I didn't really want to watch a second-rate Fast and Furious movie.
Oh my God.
What?
So
I posted my Letterboxd review, I got a few comments about Fast and Furious in my review. So I kind of had forgotten that maybe people that don't love Fast and Furious, you know, they might stick their little finger up in the air and push their glasses up and say, actually,
well, I mean,
Fast
actually,
and Furious took a lot from Point Break, my friend.
Everything. Yeah. Almost everything. It's almost
it's like a remake. The Fast Franchise is like almost a remake of Point Break.
Well, yeah. Instead of surfing, you have street racing. That's basically the difference. Mm-hmm. Really.
And instead of good direction, you have bad direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Vin Diesel does it again. Yeah, I don't think I had watched it until Jonesy's in chat. I didn't check this, but I'm pretty sure we did this for Paper Keg when we went into our movie phase.
Oh, no.
But I did not go back to listen to those thoughts. Didn't want to get clouded with mm-hmm. my opinions all those mm-hmm. many years ago. So this is the first time probably I've watched it since then. I honestly forgot Gary Busey was even in this. That's how long it's been since I watched this. So Proto picked this movie for 90s action month. Why don't you lead us off?
Sure. Yeah. My first thing really is the Kathryn Bigelow's direction in this. Mm. I think without her direction, this movie would have just been in the Walmart bargain bin that, you know, no one would have ever really cared for. But honestly, there is so many impressive shots and action sequences in this movie that I wasn't expecting like that level of quality in this movie, knowing kind of, you know, as the story unfolds, what it's about. So I was really impressed with a lot of this movie.
I agree. There's so much kinetic energy in the action of this movie. The way the camera zips around, maybe it's just my dullard brain, but I still feel like Kathryn Bigelow doesn't get enough props. And she's still somehow underrated, in my opinion. Like, I think, I'm trying to look it up. So Point Break came after Blue Steel, and then she did Strange Days, which I really enjoy. That's another movie that's kind of hard to track down. I wish it was more readily available. She did a few others, and then The Hurt Locker, I think, really kind of like brought things back up with Zero Dark Thirty. So I really enjoy her direction.
Which one did she win for, Hurt Locker or Zero Dark? I can't remember now.
I actually get them confused. Hurt Locker.
I think it was Hurt Locker. Okay, Hurt Locker. Yeah.
That's the one with the bulldog face guy, the lead character.
Yeah. The Hawkeye?
The Hawkeye
up on his perch.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many well shot. The bank robbing scene, I think, is the second one where Utah's a part of the crew. I really like that scene. But when she does the scene where Johnny's chasing Bodhi as just that long foot chase, that's so well done. And it's a really long, like almost too long. But I don't know. I just really loved that chase, and it's really well done. It's got some really cool twists and turns.
How about when Bodhi takes the lighter to the gas pump? How do you not blow yourself up instantly with that scheme? I don't know. He was doing it for a while. He lights the gas coming out of the pump and he's just shooting it around. I thought for sure if you do that in real life, you just explode instantly, right? That seems dangerous.
Isn't that what backdraft is? Goes up the tube? Isn't that not right?
I don't know.
Just didn't know you could turn a gas pump into a makeshift flamethrower like that. It was
like when you do it with hairspray, you have to stop quick. Like I've done that before.
Really?
You just can't keep going.
When was the last time you lit hairspray?
it's been a minute, Slim, please.
Speaking of which, I think Amanda sent me a video of a fireworks thing happening on Facebook where someone lit their fireworks in their front yard and then the whole thing exploded.
What a great video. I watched that like 20 times. So good.
Thank you, Facebook. Danny, what's your number one?
Number one, I will say this is, for me, my favorite part of this film, and it's arguably probably the best part of this movie. Actually, it's not up for debate. Gary Busey is the best person in this movie. He's the best, has the best performance, the best cast. Every scene Gary is in, it's electric. Like he is pedal to the metal. I can't get over how good he is in this film. He's so damn funny and so crazy. And I don't have very many Busey films that I've seen, but this is like, it's one of my favorite performances. I love him in this film. Yeah. When he orders the two meatball subs, it's just funny. He's just so funny.
Mm-hmm. It's time for lunch. Angelo, it's 10:30. Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two? Come on, partner. Two. Thank you. Utah, give me two.
Utah, give me two. So we have good friends, and they have a few kids, and one of their sons, he calls Utah, and he would always say this, like Utah, give me two. And I was like, this must be like a football reference. So watching this movie, a lot of things became clear.
Yeah. Busey is so good. He was also one of my top three. He's so fun. Do I want to be a cop and be Gary Busey's partner? Like in this movie, like I would wake up, I would want to be excited to just see what he gets into. He's a nut.
Yeah.
Like his entire scheme that he thinks, chat, let me just say, I don't actually want to be a cop. Do I have to say that out loud, people? put that on the record. Give me a clean edit. I have to get off the cross to say, no, I don't want to be a cop. Or will I ever be a cop? But his scheme that he thinks he knows the robbers, like literally from the tanless ass and the residue from like, you know, the sand and the mm-hmm. the moisture
the
from the sex wax.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, you'd get laughed at in that district. And I love that. I just love Busey. He's right? He's a hoot. What's that like Silver Bullet movie where Corey Haim is in a wheelchair and like someone's a werewolf. He's also like a lot of fun in that too.
What I love about his mouth is like its own person. I would love to see him in a movie where he's like a superhero and it's like the only thing you can see is his mouth, you know, and just like those teeth. He's fantastic. He's such a character.
He's unhinged in this. When he dives into the pool for the two bricks, I laugh every time. It's the craziest dive I've ever seen in my life on television. And he's just here for it. I love him. I love him in this film.
I just gave Jonesy a timeout for calling me a Republican in chat.
He earned it.
Jonesy. Yeah.
Too far. Jonesy's probably stewing right now at work trying to type and he can't.
He doesn't know what a timeout is. He's just pissed.
He's biting his lower lip in his like his chair, his lazy boy at work stewing. Oh, God in heaven. Top three for me that's not Busey related. At the end of this movie, you know, mm-hmm. there's a Bodie, you know, he kind of kidnaps Tyler, the love interest of Keanu that helped teach him how to surf. And they take him up in an airplane. And this is part of their plan. He's like, okay, I did what you wanted, like call and have Tyler freed. And he doesn't do that. So they jump out of the plane with their chutes. There's no chutes left. Keanu Reeves has no parachute. He mm-hmm. jumps out of the plane after them. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Right? Is this not the most legendary moment of the 90s? I mean,
incredible.
It's insane. Yeah. And then he gets after them. He catches Bodhi. He forces him to make a decision. Then he gets kind of screwed. It's wild, Proto.
Yeah, it is. It is a wild moment. And it fits great with the story, too, because watching this movie, I kept thinking of that line or that quote where they say that movies are like dreams, or they should be like dreams. And this movie, people, you know, I read some reviews, people like, this movie's so goofy, it's so silly, blah, blah, blah. But, it is, but it's the kind of thing where you would have a dream like this, where you would be, you know, be like, hey, I had this dream, I was a cop, and there was these surfers who robbed banks, and I had to stop them, but I was a surfer too, and then I, like, jumped out of a plane without a parachute. Like, that's a dream somebody would have. Mm-hmm. So it's so crazy, but it works so well, and it is a great moment. I mean, you know, when they're jumping out of the plane, he's going to do it. He's got to do it.
Oh, my God. It's so fun. So fun. Proto, you're number two.
like I said before, there's a lot of great scenes in this movie. The scene that really like blew my socks off was the house raid scene.
Oh my gosh.
So they have a bad lead that they think they're on to the ex-presidents, but it's really just a bunch of like racist Nazis living in a house who are like selling drugs. So they go to raid this house and it turns into like a massive firefight because they all have guns. And the action in that scene was incredible to me. Mm-hmm. All the guys getting shot, the dude who blows off his toes, like that shot of his shoe exploding. Oh man, like I thought that scene was awesome and like heart pumping.
Yeah. I mean, how he's late to his own sting, right? He like literally jogs to the sting a second before they go and do it. Cripes.
Busey in that scene too, at the front door asking about the dog on a leash. Insane. But then the girl in the shower kicking Keanu's ass.
Yeah.
Slamming him up against the mirror. Holy cow. Yeah, in the nude. Insane.
Is she in the nude?
Mikey pointed out the lawnmower, you know, like as they're about to go, the neighbor starts doing the lawnmower and Keanu's freaking out. They're trying to tell him, don't do it. Don't go in. You know, we can't hear them. Oh my God. It's so stressful. So stressful.
The end of that fight too, where you think that someone's going to get something lopped off by that mower.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The buildup.
That scene looks so dangerous. Keanu's face in front of those blades, right?
Yeah,
it hurts.
There's no CGI back then.
No, there wasn't a computer in the 90s.
They had no computers.
Was his face really that close to the blade?
It was a real blade.
Catherine calls. So also there's some talk of Anthony Kiedis in chat. How about Anthony Kiedis in this group from the Red Hot Chili Peppers? How punchable is his face in this movie?
It's punchable when he's singing with the Chili Peppers. And this, it's next level too.
God.
I can't get over it. And the hair. Oh, yeah.
He's a revolting human being in this movie.
I don't understand how him and Bodhi took those four guys. Like, those four guys look jacked on the beach. And I wasn't really impressed with Keanu's cut in this. He didn't look like he was, you know, he was ripped or anything.
How about
Swayze though?
Swayze he's ripped again. We talked about it in Roadhouse, just for supporters episodes, but Swayze is cut again. And also, he's wearing these like little booties. What are those shoes that he's got on? Yes. Was he the first person to ever wear Toms in 1991? He's wearing these barefoot Toms. It's crazy.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Like anything they're doing, like he's robbing a bank. He's, he's getting on a getaway airplane. You know, he's out in the water. He's wearing these slippers. he has them on all the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if he has to walk over rocks in those things, like pebbles. You're not going hiking in these slippers, Patrick. He's got to have something else.
I've had like four or five pairs of Toms, and anytime that I've like walked outside with them, I rip a hole in them. Day one.
They're like made out of tissue paper, it looks like. Oh my God. Danny, number two.
Number two. The first skydive scene where they are, not where he gets thrown out of the plane, where they're all together. Keanu's first time. There's something magical about that scene because at that point it is post them finding out about Keanu, right? They know he's the FBI agent, but they still have like this bonding moment in the air and him and Bodhi together as well. Like there's something about that I really enjoyed and it looked amazing. I know most of it's a bit fake. Well, the bits with Keanu.
Keanu's stuff was so fake.
With Keanu and Swayze, that stuff was fake. But all the other shots of the skydiving bits were crazy. There's one bit where Swayze jumps out of the plane and does like a pirouette or something, like a very Swayze dive.
Mm-hmm. With his booties.
With his toms on. But I love that scene.
How long can you actually wait before you open the chute? Like,
it's a like 10 feet? It's got to be 10 seconds. Yes. They were in the air for maybe 20 minutes.
I don't know how parachuting works.
It was it's a very long scene. I mean, they would have had to have been in some kind of like NASA rocket for them to fall for that long and drop out. But I did love that scene too, because at that point, he has chased them down, the masked individuals, but they've seen his face. So they wake him up and be like, hey, we're going skydiving. So there's always like that thing, like, are they going to kill me? Or do they not know that I was the idiot chasing them? And you're right. That scene where they switch the parachutes with him and then they all like hold hands in the air and Keanu is like seeing God in the sun doing this like skydive. He's like, this is the greatest moment of my life. And then Swayze's like, oh, by the way, we kidnapped your girl, my ex-girlfriend. They're going to murder her unless you help us. FYI. Like, God, what a sick moment that was for Keanu.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It really turns dark there for Bodhi. You know, Bodhi's like, cool. And then it's like, oh, Bodhi, come on. How about that TV, though, in the back of the van? That little setup they had? It's like a 5-inch monitor.
I
saw that at a
thrift store once, and I almost bought one, and I regret never buying it.
You know, I remember, we were DMing or in Discord maybe like a year or two back. We kind of all wanted to get like a CRT monitor. And this was like during, I guess, the CRT monitor boom, where like you couldn't get
so expensive.
Just a used square CRT for less than like $300. It was nuts. Right.
Insane.
Pisses me right off. My number two, the idea of Bodhi searching for the ultimate ride. I love his like backstory. Like, it's kind of just become a thing where like with like adrenaline junkies, but it's almost more with Bodhi. Like, he is seeking the ultimate high. Like, how spiritually and emotionally high can I get doing something? And he's explaining that to Keanu several times in this movie. And I started like buying in. I was like, do I need to join this gang? Am I quitting being a cop and joining with these bank robbers? But I love that. I love that. And my last viewing, I had forgotten that Bodhi was talking about like the 50-year storm or whatever, because that comes into play at the end of the movie, where Keanu also remembers, and it's just like the biggest wave you could ever ride, and Bodhi's there. So I really liked his kind of like spiritualism and robbing banks and just doing the craziest stuff to get that high. So I really appreciated the backstory for Bodhi in this.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't really like too much at the end is how they start dying off. You know, they get killed in the bank and then killed at the airport. And it seemed like the guys had like no reaction at all to their best friends dying. You know, they're just kind of like, grab the money from his dead corpse. It's still warm, but let's get the money and go. But you know, now that you say that, I think that I wonder if, you know, it's like they all had this expectation that they were going to die, or like they were going to die doing these, you know, adrenaline junkie things. All right. They rob banks, they jump out of airplanes, they do dangerous surfing. So they're all going to die like that. So maybe it's like they had, you know, this acceptance that, hey, we're all going to die doing stuff together. And they just accept that fact. So like looking back, that kind of makes sense now thinking about it.
Proto, number three.
Yeah. So my final thing is really just the final scene at the beach. I liked all that stuff too, but I really didn't like that they like had that fist fight on the beach. It just seemed kind of silly and kind of lame that it ended. I like how they like walked up, you know, there he is, Swayze. He's out on the beach, just like looking out at the waves and that, you know, that really cool like poncho that he has on, just like staring out there. And then Keanu comes down, they start talking. So I love the setup, but I just thought like the way they get in a fight and the cops show up and then they're handcuffed together. And the thing about their relationship is that Bodhi always got like, he got over on Utah in like every situation. I don't know if there was, you know, I don't know if this movie was trying to say anything, but it But I like felt like there was no kind of resolution for Utah at the end of this.
Right.
And maybe that's too much to expect from a movie like this. You know, there doesn't have to be. I really had a great time watching it. But I felt like the ending kind of fell a little flat for me. I did like the fact that he got out in the water, though. Like, that's cool that he got to go that way.
I get annoyed at the ending. Like, Keanu is traveling the world as a police officer to find and arrest Bodhi, and he finally does get there, and he lets him go. What are you doing? You're the worst cop in history. Like, you got Bodhi tricked you again. He's like a Nexium cult leader. He says three sentences to Keanu, and Keanu's like, oh, okay, yeah, let me take these handcuffs off you, and you can go die and make the last 6 months to a year, however long I've been chasing you, like, literally meaningless. And then he quits being a cop. You should quit being a cop. You stink. Like, I didn't get it. But I, like, at a certain point, like, I do sort of get it. Like, okay, yeah, he's going to go die in the water. That's fine. He gets his honorable death. Does he deserve an honorable death? Right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of two things, two endings that would have been better, Catherine, if you're listening. One is if he would have just stood up to Bodhi and like kept him handcuffed and said like, no, you don't get this final chance. Like, you lost it for what you did. If he would have done that, or if they had the scuffle and like Bodhi races out into the water and Keanu follows him on a surfboard, like how awesome would that have been if he's like, this is my moment to chase this wave and him go out there and, you know, have like, that would have been pretty awesome. Danny?
I think I agree with you guys. I do find myself at the end of this film. I don't know. I do. It ends exactly how I kind of want it to end, with Bodhi getting off into the wave, riding the 50-year wave or whatever. But I do not like how it gets there. I don't like the fist fight either. The random cuffing him after he's being drowned is kind of odd, and it's just okay. Like, I don't really love it after all we've been through of this movie. It's just kind of a weird ending. I think both of them riding off into the final wave would have been sick. But I don't know. It's just kind of it kind of peters out, and I just wasn't, I don't know, not terribly in love with how it ends. Because the ride to get there is pretty great.
What's your number three, Danny?
Number three would be, what have we not talked about? We've gone over everything. I love the dead presidents bit. I love when they're robbing the first time we see them rob the bank, and they're doing all their talking, like doing their bits as different presidents. And I love the masks. I don't know why that's such a great look. It's something, it feels iconic at this point. Yeah. To see the dead presidents robbing the banks, and both of those bank robbing scenes are pretty awesome.
One of my top threes was the dude doing the Nixon voice while they were robbing the bank. Yeah. Like, to have the wherewithal to do the actual Nixon voice while you're doing the robbing is pretty hilarious.
How you doing, Dick? Just implementing our own personal plan of deregulation, Mr. President.
Yeah, and they had like a lot of quips just as the presidents, which was pretty great.
Oh, there was another line that I loved from Bodhi. I'm buying into Bodhi, as I said before, but he's talking about Tyler, the love interest who we mentioned earlier. She was great. He references how they were together at some point. He says, "We shared time." I love that. What a great way to say that you were with someone for a period of time, whether or not there was love there, whether there was not love there. I just love that.
Yeah.
Bex in chat, I wish I shared time with Swayze. Bex, can you imagine the smell of those booties at the bottom of the bed in the next day? I mean, those things had to probably sit outside the house after he kicked those things off. So yeah, we went through pretty much all my number three, my top three. So honorable mentions and Letterboxd rating for Point Break 1991, Proto.
Anything else? Oh, so when they were running, I think it was, I think Keanu like caught a pit bull and then he like punches the dog.
He kicks into the nuts, I think.
That was a strange
poor
moment.
Dog.
But yeah, some of the camera work scene, the scene in the police office at the beginning where Utah is like coming in, it's like that long scene.
Oh my God, that shot is insane.
Yeah, there's something about her shots too where it doesn't look like a dolly shot, but it also doesn't look like a handheld shot. It's almost like it's so smooth, but then it's a little like jittery. It just has, I don't know, there's just something about the way like she shot this movie that I just loved. The one thing. So we're there in the car at the end. I think it's like after they've robbed the bank. Or maybe it's before, but the one guy is like really scared of Bodhi's plan. And he's like freaking out. And he's like, I'm scared, okay? And I'm like, dude, you've robbed 30 banks. How could you be scared now? Like, I don't know, going that far. But I was really surprised with this movie. Like I said before, I don't think the story is necessarily anything special, but just the way that it's directed and executed, and just the script writing's good, and there's a lot of great chemistry on screen. So I'm at 4 stars for Point Break.
Danny, honorable mentions rating for Point Break.
Going over my honor, you brought her up real quick, Tyler, Lori Petty. I love Lori Petty. But I also love her because of League of Their Own. She's amazing in League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Keanu orders a tuna fish sandwich just like Paul Walker does in Fast and Furious. That's about it. I'm sticking with 4 stars with this. I had 4 stars in my letterbox. It's just a blast. It has moments where I kind of get bored, but Busey in this, you have Keanu, you have Swayze, you have Lori. I mean, it's just everyone's having a great time. A lot of fun. 4 stars.
Remaining honorable mentions for myself. I can't get over when people who have a gun put it under their belt in front of their genitals. That seems like just the worst decision anyone can make, let alone owning a gun, but just leaving it there, game over. I mean, please. I love that if Google existed, this movie would be over. They would just Google what Johnny Utah went into after football. He's a cop. Like, he's like undercover-ish, sort of, to start this movie. Yeah. And he just kind of like goes with it.
I mean, how undercover are you if you use your actual name?
That's true.
Yeah. But also, why would he be on this raid if they're like working and investing him undercover? Why would he go to the actual, they're like, well, you'll just be here for backup. You don't want to blow your cover. That's true. He runs right in.
That's the thing. It didn't even seem like he was undercover. He was just goofing around in his free time with the bank robbers.
And he had a walkie-talkie to talk to him while he was on the beach. Like, what are we doing?
The dude that lit the... Oh, how about them surfing at night? That seems insane to me.
Oh, yes.
And the one guy...
It is insane.
How about the guy who lit the fire and didn't light himself on fire? He cuts the like fluid open with a knife and just spreads it on the wood and then lights it. My God, these people are nuts.
And it was all over him, too.
Yeah, he was
all over his hand.
Exactly.
Idiot.
Sick us.
I'm at 4 stars for Point Break. Had a great time. It's a classic. People always reference the Keanu falling over and shooting into the sky scene. You know, that was a meme before memes were a thing, I feel like. Homage is at the wazoo. So, Point Break. Great pick.
We did it. Good
from
pick.
From Proto. Kicking off this month. Brava. Let's see. You can shoot us a letter or a VM using the links on 70mmpod.com. And we actually have one from the aforementioned Jonesy Loves Beer, my co-host on the Paper Keg podcast. So let's hear what Jonesy has to say right now.
What's up, 70mm? This is your fast friend, JLB, coming out of voicemail retirement. So egged on by the ending of Point Break that I would like to invite you to the theater of the mind. Imagine that you were part of the U.S. consulate in Victoria, Australia in 1991. You get a phone call from a California Bureau, of the FBI asking you to leverage your relationship with a local law enforcement agent to let a disgraced rookie FBI agent into your country to apprehend an American criminal on sovereign Australian soil. You then not only leverage that relationship, but then you ask to put on overtime, to put on extra shifts, to surround a beach, to get a single criminal. Then you let this disgraced rookie American FBI agent go down to get the collar. They fight in the surf. You do nothing. And then you have to explain later that the disgraced FBI agent lets the criminal surf himself to death. Do we as the American taxpayer have to pay that bill to not apprehend one of the ex-presidents?
Mm.
I'm just really upset and wanted you guys to know.
Thank you.
He doesn't even say goodbye.
He just blew this movie wide open. The whole
thing. Can we lower our stars?
Wish Jonesy would blow a new phone wide open. Maybe get better quality VMs.
What is that, a Nokia?
He's using the Nokia that Tom used in War of the Worlds.
It's on speaker. It's Nokia.
Yeah, it's the ending we don't love. I think we can all agree on that point. Faux shout. Thanks for the VM, JLB. It might be time for my pick. Actually, no, hold on a second. I think I do have a winner. Danny pointed out earlier that we didn't give away a free year of Letterboxd Pro. So every week we give out a free year of Letterboxd Pro. You share the show on social media and you get entered to win a free year of Letterboxd Pro. Get access to no more ads on Letterboxd. You can see where your movies in your watch list are streaming very easily. Disclaimer, I'm a Letterboxd employee. So the winner, just said the winner.
Please don't say winner.
The winner this week is Teachers Talk Film for sharing the Stranger Things artwork. The artwork is incredible. We got a lot of buzz about that artwork, Danny. You done good for that up.
You done good.
Thank you. My girl, Max.
Our queen.
Who?
Oh, God. Shut the stream down. It's time for my pick for 90s Action Month. This is one of the hardest picks I've ever had to do.
Ooh.
But I did have it for a few weeks. I had it for a few weeks. After I watched the Ninja Turtles OG documentary, I thought about choosing Ninja Turtles. You know, can you imagine us doing a Ninja Turtles?
I don't like this pivot.
Oh my God. But I didn't choose Ninja Turtles.
God, that's so mean.
I will say that it's my first movie theater memory. Going to see Ninja Turtles in theaters changed my life. So I'll wait to rewatch Ninja Turtles until after I hear Danny's pick. I also really wanted to do Rumble in the Bronx. That was an early movie watching memory for me. Jackie Chan. I had the tape of that. But, you know, that was in the running for sure. I do try to keep in mind, like, movies I really want to do. But then also, I think, keep in mind, like, movies I really want to do that just don't star a white cast. I don't want to just be, like, the white movies show, which, admittedly, we have been for the majority of the show. So I try to be cognizant of that. So I've heard about my pick for a very long time. It's not Rush Hour. Get that out of here. Not watching that. Of all the Jackie Chan movies, we need to do Rush Hour. Look at his library of films, people. I've heard about this movie for years being the blueprint for a ton of action movies that have come out after it. I think True Romance might even be in there. I heard you talking about that earlier. It's hard to track down. But everyone be quiet. Oh. It's available on YouTube on two separate accounts. Okay. So just keep it to yourselves. Oh, it's on YouTube. It's his last Hong Kong movie before he went to Hollywood. And it's John Woo's Hard Boiled.
Oh.
One of the highest rated action films
I've been wanting to see this movie forever, and it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Chow Yun-fat.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Leung is in this. So this is his third movie on 70mm after his previous films. So the poster is amazing. It's him holding a baby.
Yes.
So pumped. I hope everyone checks it out. Try something brand new. I'm so pumped to watch it. It's my pick.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
The ratings on this movie are off the charts. Like the average is 4.5 stars.
That's insane.
People I follow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. I remember last year people were watching this. I think I saw some reviews come in and I put it on my watch list. This is great. Wow, what a movie. 1992. We're just making our way through the 90s.
I also want to mention our next watch along movie. So there's an intern tier on our Patreon where the three of us watch a movie, we record it, and maybe there's a video attached to just have a fun movie watching experience, or you can just listen to the audio of it. So there were whispers that I would choose this movie as our main show movie, but this is just going to be for supporters. It's a watch-along episode, part of our Are You Ready to Reveal? Our next watch-along movie, which we're tentatively recording this weekend.
I mean, this is... I'm getting chilled up just thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, John Woo, hard-boiled, and then we're doing the watch-along. John Woo, following year, JCVD's... Hard Target.
Kidding me right now?
What's happening?
Watch along.
That's his first movie in America. He did Hard Boiled.
I know. You're watching it with me for the first time, guys.
Same. I haven't seen it either.
Oh my God. Sheesh. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this. I mean, we had a big week out of us. Hard Boiled, Hard Target. Back to back, one of which just for supporters.
B2B.
Is this the greatest month in the history of the show?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
So glad it ends on me.
No presh.
The tables have turned from starting to ending the months.
No presh. Prado, any closing thoughts for this month, this movie, as we look onward to John Woo?
In Point Break, seeing Johnny Utah see this community of surfers and question every decision he's made up in his life until that point. You know, here's a community that's thriving. They love each other. It seems like they've really got everything with this, you know, this surfing that brings them together. And really, I realize that's what I got. VHS Village, right?
Oh my gosh.
We love movies. We watch them. You know, we might get a little spiritual. Maybe we'll jump out of plane someday, but I'm just very thankful once again to have this community with all of you.
Golly. We'll see everybody next week for Hard Boiled. Millimeter is a tape deck production featuring original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual Guidance and V'ger, the robot who loves movies, provided by Pertalexis. Producer at large, Dale_A. Transcripts provided by Sophie Shin and music composed by Cinematric. Prints and other merch are available on 70mmpod.com. This episode was mixed, edited, and produced by me, Slim. Support our Patreon for access to our VHS Village Discord to talk movies with new friends, access to our exclusive episodes in the 70mm vault, discounts on merch, uncut episodes, and a physical membership card mailed to you. To check out other Tape Deck podcasts, find the link in the episode notes. And if you'd like to support our friends at Letterboxd and upgrade to pro or patron status, you can do so with a 20% off discount using the links on 70mmpod.com. Goodbye.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.